Blog Talk Radio.
This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. For we know that it is in him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being. And we know that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved. When you're saved, you're kept, you're maintained, you're protected, never ejected, and never at any given time rejected. And just in knowing the principle of who it is that we are in God, and know that he that is in Christ is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. We have received the very justification, the reconciliation of the new birth. That means we're translated from natural to the spiritual. And because we are, we walk in the authority and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And in walking in his authority, we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. And let me tell you something about earthen vessels. Earthen vessels oftentimes have an ascertained or definitive appearance of which we can look at ourselves in the mirror. That's right. But see, we're encased in a physical body, but the power of our being, our true spirit being, is reflective within us. It's just like an oyster. The shell of the oyster is condensed inwardly with a precious commodity, a pearl. The same is reflected as we are living beings encased within a physical body. The essence of whom it is we are, the spiritual imprint is from within. That's right. Think about the concept of this. And I just want you to take a second to think about it. Mind and body. Heart and soul. Spirit, mind. And we put them together. This is condensed as what is referred to as the metaphysical being. So understand, we are complex beings, more complex than what we ever could imagine. We see a physical face, a presentation of manifestation of a person, but within the person is the psychological aspects of that individual. And some of you Freudian students or followers of the Freudian Sigmund Freud concept, he believed that there were three parallels of the human psyche. That's right. Each function at a level reflective of purpose. It was the ego, which is the imprint of the individual, who you are, your associations, your accommodation. Then there was the superego, which manipulated the fabric of moral credence. Then there was the E, which reflected to the pleasure principle. That's right. What drives your ambitions, what drives your libido, things of that measure. And each level had to be maintained with equilateral balance. Now, if you studied the teaching of Sigmund Freud, you know that. But here it is. I would rather refer to it as being the physical / metaphysical person. Because within that metaphysical being is the heart, the soul, the mind, the spirit. And this is why Jesus told us, and he gave us powerful revelations. Those revelations are reflective right now. As a man thinketh, so is he. That's why it's so important to keep your mind focused, to keep your concentration well in conscientiousness, well aware of your surroundings, where you are, who you are, and what your requirements are in that location. That's why we have to. And this is why the scripture says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. That's right. Why? Because your mind is the platform in which all things, both great and small, are represented and presented. And this is why it's so important that we keep ourselves bodied up, armored up in prayer. Apostle Paul said, pray without ceasing. Men should always pray and not faint. And then not only the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much, prayer must become a constant pursuit in everyday life. And I always use this acronym when people ask me a question about prayer, what does it mean, how does it impact us? Become a poet. Think about prayer, poet. Pray over everything thoroughly. That's right. I'm even thinking about in future reference and laying out the format, t-shirts, other promotional ideology saying, be a poet. A pray over everything type of soldier. And see, when you pray, your clarity is established. When you pray, the harmonies of life flow in a rhythmic motion. When you pray over everything, you get clear awareness of what needs to be done. Your greatest degree of miraculous breakthrough comes through prayer. That's right. And I know many of you are thinking about the fact of getting others to pray for you. We're going in the direction of the Holy Spirit today. So this is a divine word of revelation for someone who's tuned in to the spoken word. You need to hear this on this glorious, victorious day it is. Sunday, September, can you believe it? It is September the 11th, 2022. Well, here it is. When you pray, you remain connected to God and to the throne of grace. When you stay in prayer, you stay concentrated. Your focus, your aim. Your aim is your ambition. And it sets the platform for great things in your life. And Jesus said, men are to always pray and not faint. I know sometimes you say, I'm busy, I'm doing this. Pray without ceasing. And we get the wrong impression of prayer sometimes. We think we have to lay out a whole petition. A petition is an actual documentation that outlines your request, your expectation, and the manner in which the expectation will manifest or should manifest in your life. We don't have to always do petitions. Well, there's a time when certain circumstances arise in your life, in the lives of loved ones or other individuals who you may come in contact with, and sometimes you get the burden to just pray. That's right, to just pray for other people that you don't even know. Well, however the Holy Spirit leads you, always be persuaded by the Holy Spirit. Because as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they indeed are the sons of God. And so however the Holy Spirit governs within you, follow that agenda. And again, prayers don't always have to be long, drawn-out ceremonies. And I've sat around individuals, and I don't judge anybody unless I be judged. We're all different, and we have to function in the capacity in which we were intricately assigned or, you know, predestinated in the body of Christ. We have to fulfill that obligation to him. Because God appointed us in those places. And I've got heard people who get up there and they do the singing and the rendition and the chanting. You know something? If the Holy Spirit is leading you then, because remember this, the Holy Spirit does the praying through us. And the scripture tells us that sometimes we know not what we should pray for, but the Spirit maketh intercessions for us. And sometimes it's a moan because there's a burden that's just complacent, that's hindering, that needs to be moved. Sometimes there's circumstances that nothing on this earth can help. That prayer has to go in as a prayer of mediation. Then there's a prayer of deliverance that has to be put into the universal projection of things where we contact directly with God. But however we pray, it is essential. It is a base level requirement that we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? It's because God recognizes the name of his Son. And when we take on his name, we take on the authority that has been granted to him. Remember when Jesus spoke to the disciples and he told them, all power given within heaven and earth is in my hand. So when we pray in the name of Jesus Christ as our mediator, as our Savior, as our successor, as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, Father God hears that prayer. And Father God responds to it. And as a result, the manifestation of that prayer takes place. That's right, the miraculous breakthrough, the deliverance comes through that prayer. And see, something, here's a divine revelation. We've got to follow the Holy Spirit. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And sometimes deliverance, when many of us, when we perceive that God is going to deliver us, we think it sometimes it's right then and right now. Now, there's something that is life-threatening, that is urgent and threatening to the embodiment of our health, wellness, or well-being, God will answer right then and there. He will urgently and expeditiously. He will send his angels. Don't forget that there are ministering angels, there are guardian angels, that's right, and there are avenging angels. But God knows the assignment and who he will send. Are you listening today? To do the job. But sometimes deliverance, this is a powerful word of knowledge. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Sometimes deliverance goes in layers. What are you saying, teacher? Well, the Holy Spirit is the teacher. I'm just the instructor in whom the teacher is speaking through. Sometimes God wants to evolve us. Do you hear that? And evolving us, sometimes he has to show us things that were hidden to us. Powerful words. Things right in our face. You remember back in the days when you and I were coming along and the elders would say, and they had so much embodiment of wisdom. They would say, you can't see for looking. The most hidden things are right in bird's eye view. Because oftentimes we take things on face value, they remain hidden from us. So we think that peripheral vision gets the projection and the perception done, and it doesn't. And oftentimes, God will allow us to evolve as we're experiencing some turbulence in our life. It's not to hurt us. And it hurts. It hurts because oftentimes we're destitute of the things that we need, the very barest of essentials. I'm not talking about accessories. I'm talking about sometimes necessity. And we're abstinent of it. And then it's a painful process because those within the accompaniment or within the immediate grasp of our presence turn away from us. And you know now, come on, let's be real now. People that have the Holy Spirit are case sensitive to what's going on with their brethren. But some of them are so religiously programmed until they don't know how to get out of the mess they're in, and they believe that man's service is God's service, and it's not. And sometimes God has to show us that. And through evolutionary process, we gain the momentum of seeing things as they are. And as a result, God grows us from it because he has something much greater for us in store, and he wants to make sure that we don't make the definitive mistake and plant our seeds into fallow or worthless ground. Our seeds must be planted in fertile ground. Why? So that the increase can come forward. You consider an agricultural scientist. When they look at the ground and they are giving feedback to the farmers, to the agrarians, and they are giving them feedback as to whether or not the quality of that soil will produce the designated and desired results. And sometimes those agricultural scientists have to boil down to the brass tacks, an iron kettle, as well as the steel brass knuckles, and tell them the truth. It doesn't matter how spacious the ground is, how it looks on the topsoil. But there's corrosiveness and death underneath that soil, and it is literally rotting away underfoot. They have to just simply be direct and tell those individuals who have acquired of them their services to assess. Because who wants to do, how would you say, plant 100,000 acres and expect an increase when 100,000 acres are worthless land? And sometimes on face value, we evaluate things based on what we see. And when we're going through tribulation, we're going through a problematic period in our life, God is just showing us. He's sharpening our peripheral vision, where we can see what we didn't see before, or make reconciliation and true evaluation of what we've seen before, but nevertheless, we never accepted it. And sometimes it's what God allows. And when God teaches us this lesson, before he puts us on that next level, we need to adhere to the instruction that he's given us. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That doesn't therefore give any ground for you to feel as though you're a failure or that God has failed you. Somebody out here in listening land, I don't know where you are, whether you're in the continental U.S. of A., whether you're in South America, whether you're in Canada, whether you're in Australia, Antarctica, Asia, Africa, or Europe, because no matter where you are, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty there. You have felt as though God did not hear your prayer and is not answering your prayer. Well, let me tell you something. God has priorities as it relates to answering our prayers. And if something that is life-threatening and incriminatory to your health or devastating or detrimental to you, yes, he's going to answer you expeditiously. Again, the three levels of association of angels. He's going to disperse and dispatch them to carry out his command. But if there's something that is not of urgency, God will allow evolutionary process to take manifest. It takes time of God's reading and seeing things out of us that we didn't even know were embedded within us. This is why King David said, as he was waiting on God's deliverance, he said, create in me a clean heart, renew in me a right spirit. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. He spoke that in Psalms because he knew that in going through the evolutionary progress, it was a process that showed that there were certain things within him that needed to be dealt with, because going and assuming a place on the throne would give him the authority, and if he had these things embedded within him and he was sitting on the throne, he might stray away from God. He might go into the area of implementing wrath upon those he felt as though wronged him. He might have a sense of bitterness within him, and he would do things out of malicious intent. So he knew this, that his day of promotion and exaltation was coming. So he had to ask God to help him. He knew he had to find out who his friends were and who they weren't, how he stood, and where he was not able to understand. He had to do it. And so God is doing a marvelous work within you, and he that has begun that good work will continue to evolve you, evolve me, until that day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, he's going to continue to do it. So we go as we grow. We learn as we earn. To trust in God. And I love that song. It says, I trust in God. I'll trust in God. No matter where it may be. Here on the land or on the raging sea. Whatever comes, whatever may. My and your heavenly Father, he watches over me and he watches over you. So once God It's done with the evolutionary process and we didn't see some things out of us. And here comes the breakthrough. And we should never, ever turn back and become the people that we once were. We're to advance, progress, and move forward and become better people and share our testimony with others. For Peter overcame the devil by the words of his testimony and the blood of the Lamb. So I see greatness coming. I see greatness coming this week. You've been praying about it. You've been crying about it. You've even been worried about it. Stop trying to figure it out. God has already worked it out. And I told you, I shared a word of knowledge with you last week when God is speaking with me. Sometimes I get too busy. I get too turned around. I give in to emotions. I'm human. And when I'm all frazzled and dazzled, when God speaks to me and says, Abby, all is well. And you know, when God starts calling you by your name, and you can believe it whether you don't or not believe it, it doesn't change the fact, because I know, and those who are truly having a one-on-one relationship with Father God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ can tell you that when God speaks your name, he's telling you enough is enough. Get out of your carnal mindset and framework of thinking. I told you all is well. And when God spoke that word to me, I shut up. I shut it down. I said, okay, Lord, when you call me by my name, you mean you're tired of me constantly asking you or pondering over something. I let it go because it's in God's hands. And when you put it in his hands, oh, he will put you first and foremost in command. I tell you, it is not going to fail. That's right. Don't ever let the enemy lie to you, because I know he's tried me so. I felt as though I fought against the very elementation of the enemy's arsenal myself last week. But let me tell you something. It's in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we have the victory. It's in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Satan will have to flee. Oh, you tell me, who can stand before us when we call on his great name? Jesus, 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 we have the victory. Said it, and that sells it. And I just thank God for it. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you right now. We thank you for the power of your word. But Lord, you said your word will not return unto you void, but it will accomplish the purpose in which it was set out for. And we know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God through the pulling down of strongholds. And we are to denounce every spirit that exalts itself above God and even tries to deter us from the knowledge and the presence of Jesus Christ. And we know that it's the spirit of the Antichrist. And we cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus. We cover our family members. We cover our co-workers, our community, our leaders. We cover ourselves under the anointing of his presence and his supernatural ability to conquer this world and everything in it, in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, God of God, we're asking that those who are experiencing physical anomalies, inabilities, that through the authority and the blood of Jesus Christ, for we know that he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and that the chastisement of his peace was upon our shoulders. And through his stripes, we were healed. We're seeking healing in the name of Jesus, whether it's physical healing, healing in the mind, healing in the consciousness, in the name of Jesus. Father God, we're speaking in the name of Jesus, and we're peeping to your personality, Father God, as Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Father God, we're asking that you send forth financial manifestation. Let it rain, let it rain, let it rain. That you would send down that latter rain, for the latter rain is what caused the sprawl and the increase to take manifestation. We're asking that you send breakthroughs today, financial breakthroughs today. There's money that's being held up. There promissory note that needs to be paid. There are individuals that owe your children. Father God, make them let it go. For if a man's way sees God, he will cause his enemies to be at peace with him. Father God, we thank you for our financial restoration and for the financial breakthrough. We thank you, Father God, for we know that it's of your mercies that we were not consumed, for your compassions fail us not, for they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And to those who have children that have lost their way in the world, Lord, have gotten into a lifestyle that is not appeasing, that is not favorable to you, Father God, just as that prodigal son returned back, let those children return back home to their parents where they know they will be loved and cared for, God. And should there be any confusion under that roof where those children lost their way and left, Father God, let peace be still in the name of Jesus Christ. Let that habitat of the home be a nurturing and loving environment. Let the fear and admonition of Father God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ be present in that household. Straighten out the difficulties within the job, its surrounding and environment, Lord. But Lord, you are the God of peace that passes all of our understanding, and let our hearts and our minds be ruled through Christ Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Father God, help to reconcile those broken relationships, those relationships, Lord, whether they be marital relationships, friendship relationships, child to parent relationships, Father God. But Lord, you are the peace that passes all understanding. Let it rule over the minds and hearts of your children. Even those who have lost their way and went astray, Father God, let us be the vehicle that helps them to arrive back to that place of originality. And because of your grace, because of your loving kindness, because of your mercy, Father God, you said, with long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. Father God, we thank you for these gifts that you have placed in our lives. We thank you for excellent and abundant health. We thank you for divine protection and divine wisdom. We thank you for safety, for being the hedge and the fence around us. We just thank you, Father God, for all that you are, all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. In thy blessed Son, Jesus Christ's name, Father God, we're remembering those in Mississippi who don't even have adequate drinking water, Lord. You know, Pastor Paul said, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Provide for them, God. Father God, provide for them, Father God. And to those who are in the Ukraine, Lord, and they're still fighting in the war with Russia, Father God, we're asking that you let the peace of God reside there, and that this very standoff, this skirmish, be laid to rest. But Father God, you are a God of peace. But nevertheless, Lord, we know that you have given protection to your children who are residing within Ukraine, Lord. Be the protection, the hedge, and the very barrier between them and the enemy, Father God. And to the Israel, Father God, you said all that pray for Israel will prosper. Father God, be that hedge and that protective barrier around Israel, for God is real, Israel is real, Israel. Protect the prophet whom you will send from Israel, who will speak the knowledge of the truth with holy boldness and speak out against the Antichrist taking over and causing confusion in the land, who will speak out against the disembodiment of the true believers there, who will speak out against the very elements of evil that are trying to attack your people there. Bless this man, Lord, for him to come forth with holy boldness, that we may speak words of encouragement to him, that he go forth with the power of the Spirit of you, Father God, and the boldness of Elijah, Father God. And we're asking, Lord, that you give this man a double portion of your Spirit, Father God, and that you bless all your children to live long, healthy, wonderful, prosperous, and progressive lives, so that we may hand the blessedness of our gifts unto others. In thy blessed Son Jesus Christ's name, we say amen. It is done. Let me tell you something. This is a very exciting time. Of course, we are praying for America. We constantly have to pray for America, but America is convened as a leadership nation. And you know something, with all the confusion that's going on inside of our land, it gives us complacency and compartmentacy to understand that we need to be vigilant and diligent in our position. That's right, as being true believers. That's right. Oh, Psalms, this is a beautiful psalm to be fitting for this Sunday. The Lord reigneth. When this scripture opens up, this is the psalm today, there were many writers of psalms, so this don't get reflective upon David all the time. Some of the writers will not even mention, but nevertheless, Psalms is such a diverse book with reflective subject matters that appease and address certain issues, certain areas of concern, you know, even laying out petitions, expressing human emotion, and just so reflective of so many things. And we need to understand that this is a book that all believers, whether you're new into the Christianity, whether you just come to the understanding and knowledge of Jesus Christ, you need to start with the book of Psalms. It sets the pace for the other 59 books. I'm sorry. Other 65 books. Let's get it right, because there's 66 books condensed in the Holy Bible, the Holy Scripture. So go with me here as I began reading. It's so full of zeal today, the 93rd division of Psalms. The Lord reigneth. That speaks my volumes. When you reign, that means you rule. You are what's considered as the sovereign. There is no competition in your parallel. There is no instability in your position. You reign. That means you're calling the shots. You're in charge. Well, let me tell you something. To you doubtful disputers out there, the Lord reigns. He rules. He speaks one word, everything changes. Whether it's for the good or not so good, he is in command. So reign means he's in full command. There's no challenge to his position. He is clothed with majesty. That means he's regal. He's opulent. He's awesome. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He rules over all from affinity to affinity. He's there. And the scripture says, with majesty, the harmony of sovereignty. You look at the beauty of all that God has created. You know he's sovereign. The sun rises, it sets. It doesn't stay at 24 hours because there must be a harmonious balance in the equation. The moon comes into existence at night with dim light so that the rest pattern is not interrupted and that the earth doesn't become too warm. He allows the rain to come, not the cause of any disruption in the program, but so it can actually refurbish and nurture the ground and allow the photosynthesis to take place, the greenery and the shrubbery to be nurtured. That's because he's sovereign. He knows what it takes to rule this world. The Lord is clothed with strength. Strength means the ability to overturn without support, without request. He can just do it. When you have strength, you have virility. When you have strength, you have capacity. When you have strength, you have the ability to be mobile as well as immobile. And you command all within your immediate grasp to do either as such. Wherewith he has girded himself. The world also is what? Dashed, that it cannot be moved. And remember the scripture that says, the earth is the Lord. Say this with me. The earth is the Lord, and the fullness thereof, and they and all they that dwell therein. Say it one more time. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And if you want to get the rightfulness of referendum to that scripture, go to Psalms 24, the first verse. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all they that dwell therein. He said it, that settles it. And it cannot be moved. He said, before one word is changed in his promises, this earth would pass away. To this day, to this record, it's still standing, so God has kept his word. Because the scripture tells us, God watched over his word to perform it. So it can't be moved. We don't care what scientific research says. We don't care what the astronomers say. That's right. We know what God said, he said it, and that settles it. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. This is letting us know a persistent reminder that God is endless. He's boundless. He's spaceless. He's infinite. He does not alter, neither does he change. He will never go away. He will never disappear. He will never hide. He is there. Because he is master of the universe. And he spoke every living thing into existence. He knows us. Why? Because we were spirit children. We were spirits before you and I took on natural flesh. We were spirit matter. Spirit matter is breath. You can't see a spirit, but a spirit, God can see a spirit. You cannot see a spirit. But you know, you can feel it just as the wind. We can't see the wind, but we can see the results of what the wind does. We see trees blowing down when there's hurricane or typhoon or cyclone winds. We see trees and power lines that fall and hurricane winds. We see the evidence, but we cannot see the wind because the wind is invisible. It is spaceless. It's timeless. Well, wind is spirit. It breathes. You can only see the effects of what the spirit is. Understood? And so therefore, in knowing this and acknowledging this, what you can't see is eternal. It's everlasting. But what you can touch and see is finite. It's limited to a certain time, element, and purpose. I don't care. I've heard people talk about these very expensive irons called the Rowena irons. They are some very beautiful and fashionable irons. And they're the most expensive in the world. Yes, these irons are legendary, but guess what? Even with all of that, you get a lifetime guarantee. Why? Why do you get a lifetime guarantee? Because they know at some time, at some point, life will take a toll. It may get dropped, a piece may fall off, or it doesn't heat up the way it used to. So the lifetime guarantee, you're literally etched in stone to receive another iron, but you have to keep the certificate of authenticity without any barriers in your grasp. You must also make sure you maintain the integrity of your receipt. That's right. But see, with God, we don't need any paper verificational provisions because he speaks, the universe follows. And there is no challenge within that area. The floods have lifted up, Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. What is it saying? We're talking about weather. Now, you're thinking about actually the weather predictions, the matter of which weather is manifest. No, what the scripture is saying here is that, God, you command the wind. Remember the instance when Jesus and the disciples were on the boat and they got scared because the winds were so turbulent they thought that their vessel was going to turn over, and they were scared and they were shaking, saying, oh, Lord, what are we going to do? What did our Lord say, Jesus? He looked out into the soundlessness of time. And he spoke to those virulent winds, and he said, what? Peace be still. Oh, I love it. Peace be still. What happened? Did the wind keep blowing like it's going to turn the vessel over? No. Immediately, the wind ceased. Now, only the authority of God and Jesus Christ can cease those turbulent winds. Well, us having that treasure in an earthen vessel, when we call on the name of Father God through the name of Jesus Christ, we get the same reaction. There was some speculation as Dr. Kenneth Copeland was talking about he and his wife were actually traveling by plane, and the weather was turbulent. The people on the plane were getting nervous. They were getting frightened, and they were giving into human emotions, as we do. We're humans. The Spirit of God does not always travel, man, for that he is also flesh. But Gloria said that, you know what? She spoke, and her husband, Kenneth, spoke, and immediately the weather ceased. The turbulence of that weather ceased, and the plane began to fly with smooth transition. And some people said, that's false. That's not false. Because let me tell you something. I have been in situations right here in my own place of residency, when the winds were blowing like they wanted to blow the roof off my place of residency. I said, okay, Father God. Okay, God. Sometimes you just got to talk to God. Stop being so formidable and so cosmopolitan that you forget that you have a connection with God and he rules all. And I said, okay, Father God. Okay, Jesus. I said, Lord, I know you're angry with the world. Look at how people are. Lord, forgive us. Forgive all of us, Lord, because sometimes we just fail. I talked to him. I said, okay, Lord, that's enough. It looked like the power wants to go out, and I had just been shopping. I didn't want the probability factor of the power going out. And not only that, the damaging winds could do so much harm to others. Down power lines, somebody could step out there and get electrocuted. Anything. So I just began to talk to the Lord, and the wind began to cease. So we have that connection. Use your connection. If you've got good connection or great connection, use your connection. Because God hears us. And sometimes God just wants us to channel in and communicate with him. We communicate with everybody else. What's the problem of communicating with him? The Lord is on high. He is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. And yes, he is sovereign. Who do you think governs the sea? When Jesus told that those winds and the raging sea, peace be still, were there still turbulence? No, the turbulence obliterated. It stopped immediately. The scripture didn't tell us it stopped 5 minutes later, it stopped 15, 20 minutes later. No, immediately. Immediately. That lets you know how powerful the name of Jesus is. That's why we should carry it as a precious and priceless commodity. So there's so much power in that name. And remember, the scripture tells us that as the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. That means disbelievers, atheists, infidels, Gnostics, every knee shall bow. Every condition must bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Now, you want to talk about comparative analysis? This is not really a comparative analysis, but it's a reflective statement. Joe Biden is the president of the United States of America. Now, when it comes time to respect this man for his position, you may not like him. You may not like the methodology in which he operates, the very plans and essential actions through the government that he imputes or implementates. But one thing for sure, you have to respect him and acknowledge him as being the president. This is the same thing as reflective, and it is a good reflective statement, to the name of Jesus Christ. Satan does not like that name because he knows it's that name that calls further condemnation to him. It is that name that put him in bondage. It is that name that has removed physical conditions, that has changed circumstances and situations. It is that name that has caused physical ailments to disappear and that person be made whole. So he doesn't like the name, but he has to admit that that name is more powerful than any name on this earth, and he has to get back. His minions have to go. His principalities have to flee. His spiritual leaders have to go. Because it's something about that name. When God has given him a name above every name, isn't that something? The testimony, or thy testimony, are very short. Holiness becomes thine house, O Lord, forever. And here the psalmist is saying, Father God, we acknowledge you as being sovereign. We acknowledge you as being the very caregiver of all, of being superior to all. We give respect and honor to you because your name is worthy of all honor, worthy of all praise, and worthy of all glory. And I say this, and sometimes you may have heard me say this on previous editions, whether it's from Manna from on High, Manna of Restoration, Manna of Prayer, Glorious Excelsior. That means you're higher than any presence known and even unknown to mankind. This is the level of praise that reflects the statement of hallelujah. Hallelujah is the highest praise that you can give to God. And he's worthy of it. So on this day, be determined that you're going to praise God more, thank God the more, give the acknowledgement of Jesus Christ the more, and praise his name, and complain less. And when you praise more, you'll be less likely to become prey for the enemy to use to his availability. And saying that, this time has just moved too quickly. Don't get sad. Stay glad. We're coming back again next week, and we're going to see you then. Declare this as a glorious and victorious, miracle-filled week, and know that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we're able to ask and think. Thank you for tuning in. This is your host, your instructor, Abby A. Phelps, known as your Motor City Maharani. And many of you see me out in public, you say, hello, Esquire. That's right. That's okay. What's in a name? There's only one name that's given reconciliation of everything, and that's the name of Jesus and Father God. So no matter how you address me, I appreciate you. And if you want to communicate with me, you can always come through my personal email address. I've had a couple of sessions last week, but I think we really got the breakthrough up and coming. That's right. You can always go to abbyphelps965@gmail.com for that special prayer request, or whether you want a counseling session or want my feedback on something, feel free just to speak up and speak out. We're helpful. You're helpful one to another. I mean, we're helpers one to another. I have to constantly say that because sometimes we start thinking we have a sense of entitlement. There's no entitlement to what we do. It's of the Lord's mercy that we weren't consumed because his compassion still is not, and they're new every morning. Praise his faithfulness unto us. So we thank God for you. Have a blessed, glorious, and victorious week. We'll see you then. Oh, yes.